expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Southern Minds. We got a little Southern music going on today, just letting you know.
Did something happen during the night?
Plug yourself in and shut up. Today is...
I can't get the plug to work.
All righty then. So, today is November the 20th.
I get my thing plugged in here, too.
But my, there you go. Shut up.
Payback's you know what.
All right. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host. Today is Sunday, November 20th, 2022. And we're brought to you by lots of different people. MountaintopMedia.com is a good place to go if you want to see all our podcasts.
We're supported by all the great patriots out there.
Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded. Big shout out to Big O Tires over there, Jay and the gang. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning. I'm having issues, and I'm watching people outside. Sorry. You know, you got to watch some of these things that go by or what's going on across the street or whatever, just to be safe.
He's wrestling with his
He's having an issue with his little dog in his sweater. Oh, well.
Right. Turn mine down just a hair. It's up a little.
I don't even know what.
It's the yellow one. The yellow one. Yellow. Yeah, it's like, man, there we go. A little more, a little more, a little more. Look, not that much. Up. Keep going up. Stop it. Go. Right there. That's perfect. All right.
Are you sure?
A little more. Touch more. There we go. Can hear myself. Maybe.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
More. It's kind of weird, you know. It's just kind of weird. It's so high, it's blasting my eardrums. A little more.
Jeez.
A little more. Right there. That's perfect. Okay. All right.
Are you sure?
Shit. Anyway, we have a fast-paced show, as usual.
We do.
Terry and Wynn were talking about the elections official here in town. You know,
I can't wait. Do we have to put official there?
Well, she's officially the official.
Yeah, kind of.
Officially. And, although something's fishy on the official.
On the official, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, it's just so weird these days. I mean, everything's so weird. You know, we're being told, oh, the economy's great. Oh, yeah, look, the stock market, like, nothing's wrong. All the businesses are roaring back. And no.
And don't question anything.
Don't question anything.
You know, don't do it.
You got this, you know, they changed all the voting rules. They got ballot boxes instituted. You know, they got
mail-in ballots,
voting machines, dogs and cats living in sin. You know, I mean, and we're not supposed to say anything, or we're weaponized.
Yeah.
You're weaponized. You know, really? So you're not weaponizing the elections office, really, are you? The letter.
No,
that wrote,
she wouldn't do that.
She's not, you know, trying to set up some kind of a thing so that we have to be investigated as terrorists because everybody's a terrorist that doesn't agree with what the government says does or implements on you.
Right. And if anything happens, it's going to be our fault. You know that. No matter who does it, you know.
What a piece of
and
work.
Just in, before we get to our caller, Jimmy, we just found out in the lobby that she didn't send just three cards. There's at least four of these things that went out.
Wow.
Yeah, because my two are different than Terry's two. So I'm just saying.
But hey, it's about money, you know. They're costing us a lot of money to have to, you know, give them information to know that we're being, you know, honest and fair in our elections, and it's costing a lot of money, you know, for us to have extra people and train them and observers, and it's costing us a lot of money. Oh, by the way, I'll take $42,000 on my salary as a bonus.
And not only that, it's costing us a lot of money. I made a mistake, and it's going to cost you guys $82,000, but you guys are costing us a lot of money.
Yeah, it's never their costing a lot of money. It's never their, you know, if we looked at their bloated budget, how much does she make a year? I don't even know.
I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, in reference to her letter, she said something about $112,000 and that could pay for a fireman or policeman or whatever. What about your 82 grand there, Kevin?
What about the 42 that you're spiking your already bloated salary?
Yeah, so we got 82 and 42. That takes us over the amount of 112 that you're costing us, Kathy. Just saying.
Yeah, it's just insane.
But anyway, we've got Jimmy on the line. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, folks.
Hey, I can hardly hear you.
How about
that's
now?
Better.
That's better. Can we turn off the lights
good
in
morning,
the studio
folks.
Here?
Because I feel like I'm on most display. People, most thank 9 you. To 5ers in Shasta County would love to even make $42,000.
You got that.
Yeah, that's the medium family. That's the medium income. Yeah. It's like 45 or 50 or something, whatever it is. And her, she gets a salary raise with that?
I know, I heard that. I had to call in to the show and go, did you just say 42,000 extra or 42,000?
Yeah.
No, 42 extra.
Extra. Yeah. Extra. Extra.
So I thought I was having a flashback.
I guess they just forgot.
You might have been.
They just forgot
but
about
it
that.
Is extra.
Just forget about that. Forget I ever said anything.
So a couple things I'd like to mull over with you guys, and I'll get off the phone. So I remember listening to one of the local shows, and they had Kathy Darling on, and they were talking about the Dominion machines.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, are they plugged into the Internet? Can they get hacked?
Of course
you know,
not.
Like somebody in China or wherever, Uzbekistan, is going to, you know, just go in there and hack
something. Oh, you're doing
no
that.
No
come
way.
On, you're doing that conspiracy theorist terrorist crap again. Cut it out, Jimmy.
No, that's what people are saying. I'm not saying that because what I'm saying is I'm pretty sure that the Dominion is already pre-programmed to turn the votes.
Well, it could. Who knows? But don't ask questions because these trust your government. Trust, you know, these are the same people that you know brought you you know all these other programs like I don't know. Pegasus and
don't let the software coming out of China make you question anything.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
The guys that brought you Russian disinformation, pay attention.
Right. I mean, I know that. I mean, they could go plug that machine into some warehouse back room and have somebody hack it. But I believe the complaints I've heard are that
it's flipping the votes right away. Yeah, I mean, that's what I've seen, too. Mm-hmm. I've heard both. I've heard, you know, DeKalb County, Georgia, it was just flipping the votes right away. They didn't have anything to do with the Internet. You know, they're pre-programmed. So if somebody walks in and programs it, you know, and they let somebody through, they put their little flash drive in, it pre-programs it, they pull the flash drive out, you don't have to be hooked up to the Internet. You just get to win the election. It kind of goes back to Stalin's thing of he who counts the votes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying it goes back to Stalin's theory of he who counts the votes.
Exactly, but I believe it's more pre-programmed than actual, you know, Internet hacking, which I'm not a computer guy by any means, trust me. Give me an A-track and a CB, I'm good. But,
well, that's why I was saying about the, you know, the software coming out of China. It's the software can already have it encoded in it, and it's downloaded into the machine.
And that's what I think the case is more than direct Internet hacking.
You probably own a Walkman still. You should be investigated.
I wish I had one. Those things are worth big bucks now.
We just had Dave step in the studio.
The kid just walked in the building.
Ignore him.
Oh.
Okay.
So, I can't hear him anyway.
I know. He's not on his mic.
I'm going to get the show on the road so I can get off the air so you guys can go on.
Cool.
So the other thing I'd like to ask you folks about, which I'm really kind of wondering about, is does Dominion give donations to people here in Shasta County.
Yes. Didn't we say, well, see that with Modi?
Actually, it was with Modi. Yeah, yes. Dominion gave Modi a campaign donation during the recall. The guy who owned Dominion or the head ever, he was a high-ranking officer, whatever it was.
There was association with Dominion, yeah.
Okay, well, that's not suspect, so I'm glad.
Neither is Sierra Forward, where all the Democrats donate to our local conservatives.
Right.
Gee, that's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, and then, you know, Kathy Darling's letter about the guy from out of state that's controlling all the elections, really?
Oh.
I guess he missed all of those fundraisers and all those meetings and all those walking the precincts and all of those gathering of signatures. It was all because Dr. Evil, implemented his strategy on all. We're part of the Borg. That's the deal.
Hey, I wonder if anybody cashed in on Dominion Miles to get a free flight to Arizona.
Yeah. Or to the train station.
There. They completely botched the election. You know, the voter machines aren't tallying anything. You have to go to the precinct. People said their votes were already counted, even though they hadn't voted yet. But there's nothing to see here. And Carrie Lake is just, she's just madcap.
Well, the scary thing about this is, too, is from what I can see, the legal cheating, and that's a weird thing to say, but
how do you legally cheat?
I'm going to show you. I've got a clip.
I know, but you know, come on.
So here's the thing: in 2020, they ended up changing the way we vote. They ended up changing with all the mail-in votes. They ended up changing and making it legal for a lot of these states.
Ballot harvesting is legal.
Yes.
Or ballot harvesting. And unless we set up and do the exact same thing as what they're doing.
It just so happens that I have a great clip that will show you that that's exactly what's going on.
Good.
Okay. And the red wave was not a big red wave on the national stage. But they forgot to talk about all the little local races, Red Wave. They forgot to talk about the fact that, let's just take a look at our county, for example. It looks like Kevin Cry is probably going to pull that out over Reznor. Mm-hmm. It looks like Chris Kellstrom won as well. So we've got now a pretty good board sitting there. And then it looks like there's a bunch of school board races.
Right.
And so this has been happening across the country. The red wave has been at the local level, but they just by the way, we did take over the House the last people that were elected were from the state of California that turned it into a majority. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting. Matt played something that Florida has three times the amount of people than Arizona, but they got their votes done by 9.
Yeah, yep. By 9. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So it's all about the games. It's all about the playing of the games. But we're going to get into that. I have a clip here that you're just going
to
love.
But to your point about... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy.
One thing, and I'll get off the air and let you guys rock it. So the black markers they wanted us to use down at the polling station.
I didn't do it.
My wife and I, we brought our own pens.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so
I filled mine out before.
And they really pushed those markers on us. We're like, no, we're going to use our pens.
No, I took it and said, hey, this will look great on I'll use this for permanent marker on my socks.
They didn't even ask me. I already had mine filled out.
Well, they said, well, you're going to have to wait 20 minutes for the ink to dry.
What?
Really?
Have you heard this one?
No.
Uh-uh.
No. Oh, my gosh. What a quinky dinker. Yeah. They said, you're going to have, my wife went first. They said, you're going to have to wait 15, 20 minutes for the ink to dry. She's like, are you sure? No, here, just... She's like, no, I'm okay. I got
the you know what's interesting, Jimmy, is the other ones work just fine, and you don't have to wait at all.
And that's a different story than I told before.
Oh, so, what's that?
Go ahead.
So here's my quick point. I'll get off the air. So I can go into a 7-Eleven and fill out a lottery ticket with ink, shove it right in the machine, and it'll give me my numbers. But you can't put that in a Dominion machine.
Well, that's because I'm sure that. What's your name and address again, Jimmy? Because I need to send that to the Homeland Security because I think you're some sort of a malcontent.
You're supposed to just accept it and go on.
You've been weaponized by some guy in Connecticut.
Right. Yeah, I got you. Well, so anyways, I thought that ink thing was weird.
Never heard that one.
It is. It's totally weird.
Because when we, I believe when she was on our show before, she said that there was no problem, that she didn't have to worry about it, that they didn't leave smudges or you didn't have to worry about them drying, that you could put them directly into the
machine. Well, what it is they lie about everything.
Folks, I promise you that happened. So
I have no doubt.
Yeah. All right, folks.
All right, well, thanks,
great
Jimmy.
Show. I'll post the silver and gold prices here.
Hey, there
okay.
you go. Cool. Thanks. Okay,
and
so,
to your point, I was going to say, if you, I was reading the Epoch Times or however you want to say that, that they're showing a lot of the communities across the United States at the local level took back a lot of commissions, school boards.
There was,
I mean, yeah, there was a huge article.
Wave.
About that.
There was a red wave, but it was more at the local levels.
And, of course, mainstream media skips over that.
It's harder to cheat at the local levels.
Well, and also the big thing on it is, too, is I think they knew that they had set it up this way. So, for instance, you had Chuck that was caught on a hot mic saying, oh, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be...
Well, they set this whole thing up as a red wave. Sure, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, because then if you think it's going to be a red wave, you're more likely to stay home or not vote.
Well, it's that, and then it's also... If you look at the way they're playing it as though it was some type of victory and how Biden is going to continue doing exactly what he's doing because...
All you have to do is ask yourself one question. Did we take back the House?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we better off this week than we were last week across the nation?
Yes.
Yeah, we are in a lot of ways.
No question. So let me get to this clip. Okay, let me get to this clip. Okay, have you heard of Dr. Steve Turley yet?
No.
Okay, this is a name that you probably need to know about. Dr. Steve Turley was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Not Idaho. Iowa.
Iowa.
Okay, he is the author of 18 books, including his most recent, I Refuse. He is a professor of public policy, political science at George Mason University, where he authored four more books. The Restructuring of the Global Order was being his latest. So this guy is not a schmo. I mean, he teaches at two universities in Canada and Turkey as well as Oxford. So this guy's not a dummy. Okay. And so I just want to set that up so it's not sounding like when he starts talking here, oh, it's just another pundit that doesn't know anything about nothing. Yeah. But this is very important, and this is about ballot harvesting. And we need to understand this because the title of this video is Proven Ballot Harvesting Strategy That Will Crush the Dems in 2024. And so let's listen to this for a few minutes, and then we'll talk about it. Here we go.
I have a ballot harvesting strategy that will crush the Democrats in 2024. The strategy is coming from Sean Steele, the Republican National Committeeman from California. He's a very savvy political tactician. His wife, Michelle Steele, just won her House race in California's 48th district. And she won largely through utilizing this ballot harvesting strategy, which effectively neutralized her Democrat opponent's early mail-in vote advantage. And she's not alone. Republicans control the House right now precisely because of all of these wins in California, where ballot harvesting is the legal norm. It was, in fact, Kevin Kiley, the winner of California's 3rd District, who put the GOP at 218 seats and in control of the House. So there's some magic going on here in California while our hopeless pundit class is trying to come up with some narrative that explains that success. The answer, as we're finding from Sean Steele, the reason for this success doesn't boil down to a narrative like, oh, Trump sucks, or abortion, abortion. Instead, the answer is strategy. It's employing a tactic that since 2018, the Democrats have tapped into their electoral success, but now the GOP in Southern California is beating them at their own game. Michelle Steele won her seat in a +5 Democrat district. It's a Northwest Orange County district. Biden carried it by 6 points, but Michelle Steele, utilizing this ballot harvesting tactic, won. So, what are they doing? Well, in California, as I'm sure you know, ballot harvesting is, of course, the legal norm. Ballot harvesting is the practice in which political operatives collect absentee ballots from voters' homes and drop them off at a polling place or election office. You may not know, but in California, you can come into the polls with as many ballots as you want that you could personally carry and drop them off, no questions asked. Now, obviously, we can bitch and moan all we want about that, or we can do what California Republicans are doing, and that's adapting their election strategies to beat the Democrats at their own game. The key here is that Republicans have been making conservative evangelical churches their absentee ballot centers. Drop boxes are being placed in the middle of churches throughout their districts. The parishioners are instructed on how to sign the ballot. Both the ballot and the envelope have to be signed for signature matching and verification. And the church elders, in turn, take the drop boxes directly to the register of voters. So the entire process is streamlined. There are clear instructions on how to fill out the ballot. And because it involves church staff and administration taking the ballots to the polling centers, there's a great deal of confidence among parishioners that their votes are being handled responsibly and are being counted, with a clear chain of custody protocol being followed. But drop boxes aren't just being put at the center of churches. We're talking gun shops. We're talking sporting and hunting shops. You know, it's any and all kinds of places where patriots hang out. And it's working. Again, what has to be reiterated here is that this is the second election in a row where California Republicans have cleaned the Democrats' clocks using this tactic. We have to remember that back in 2018, that was the first election, the last midterms before this year's midterms, that was the first election California Democrats used the strategy of ballot harvesting, and they clobbered the Republicans. They picked up a whole host of seats. And again, back then, the Republican establishment was doing exactly what they're doing now. They were whining about Trump. It's all Trump's fault. Trump, it's all Trump. Mean tweets. These idiots actually think that elections are still won based on who runs. Hello, Festerman. But California Republicans didn't go there. They recognized that they got crushed not because of a person, but because of a plan. They realized it wasn't Trump, it was a tactic that beat them in the end. So they adapted. They began to employ the same strategies that Democrats use with their constituencies, but now with Republican constituencies, so as to maximize their vote. They put drop-off boxes in churches, gun shops, and the like, and lo and behold, look at what happened in 2020. Do you remember we came within just a handful of seats of winning back the House in 2020? Do you remember that? Well, just like last Tuesday, that's because a huge portion of those 2020 seat flips came from California. They flipped 4 seats in California alone back in 2020, and by big margins, too. And they're doing it again in this midterm election. Once again, in the second election in a row, it's California where we're seeing the most seats getting flipped from blue to red. One Republican strategist reported that back in 2020, Republicans used a drop box to collect over 12,000 ballots from one single church alone in Southern California. 12,000. This is the SoCal ballot harvesting strategy, and its potential as a national strategy for the GOP is enormous. And that's because we have to remember that evangelical voters, depending on how you define evangelical, but depending on the definition, evangelicals generally make up anywhere from a quarter to a third of the national vote, which is huge. White evangelicals make up the bulk of that percentage, and the AP VoteCast survey found that 81% of white evangelicals voted for Trump in 2020, and 80% voted for Trump in 2016. So we're talking about a huge voter base that with ballot harvesting can get even larger. Remember, one of the biggest disappointments in these last midterms is the failure of the rural vote to come out the way they came out in 2016-2020. J.D. Vance had a great piece talking about this in the American Conservative, and he noted that rural voters last week simply didn't come out in anywhere near the numbers that we needed them to in places like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and Arizona. And the reason is because in the end, there wasn't a get-out-the-vote effort to get them to the polls. And shame on us for that, because this has been the pattern, as Vance explained. This has been the historical pattern of rural voters for decades. Rural voters are not that engaged in politics.
Yeah, so I think we have to go to a break. Go ahead and stay on the line, Stones, and we'll come back here in a minute.
Right, and we will have a special guest in the studio after the break. So if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
special chat room listeners. You know who you are. Wow. So we're back. Let's finish this off, and then we got about a minute and a half or so of this clip. And then we'll get to Rich. So stay on, Rich, and we'll get you right back in here quick. I want to finish this because I think this strategy is really valuable for everybody to understand and to start implementing in the next election. It's what turned over the House this year.
Okay? But according to our local elections office, that's what happened here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
And
they said 20,000 ballots got put in that box on election day.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll vote harvest like a fiend, man.
Yeah, that's right. I'd be chilling like a villain.
Right. Hey, it's legal since 2016 in California. Let's do it.
Done. Yeah,
I got a trailer.
All right.
Yeah,
hey.
All right, so let's finish it out, and then we'll get to Rich. Here we go.
And when they tended to vote Democrat before 2016, that worked to our advantage. The neocon Rhino Republican Party used to love it when the rural votes stayed home since they were predominantly Democrat. But now in the grand old Patriot Party, the new Trumpian Republican Party, they're now our voters. And unless Trump is holding tons of rallies in their counties like he did in 2016 and 2020, there is going to have to be an alternative get-out-the-vote campaign to get them to the polls. Or we put drop boxes in every single rural church. Because guess who is the most religious church-going demographic in the nation? Can you say rural populations? It's no coincidence that the 10 most religious states in the nation correspond almost exactly to what have been designated as the most redneck travel destinations throughout the country.
That'd be us.
This is how we crush the Democrats in 2024. This is how we absolutely overwhelm their early mail-in vote advantage. We're not merely looking to offset their ballot harvesting advantage. We want to smash it. We want to decimate it. Now, obviously, there's more to it, as Maricopa County showed us, the shame to the world. We've got to find ways of being the ones counting the votes, so there's more at the administrative and precinct levels that we need to do, no question. But in terms of overwhelming the actual ballots, this SoCal strategy has worked two elections in a row for us. It's time to make it the model for all states that still use ballot harvesting, because it promises to be a real game changer in the
Well, there you have it. Yep. Before we get to our guests, let's go to Rich, and then we'll introduce our special guests that are here in the studio already.
Are you still there, Rich?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hello. Yep, hello, on. Hello. Yep. You're Hi. On.
Thank you, guys. I'll go as quick as I can. excuse me. I want to talk about some of the local school board wins, and I'll be generic. I know people, they don't like to hear a bunch of numbers on the radio, but you know, Author Gorman and I, again, on election day, the ballot in the machine, Author and I got 77% on election day. That's what Author and I got for the Shasta County Office of Education area, too. Now, the official numbers, of course, don't reflect that necessarily. Author's in the lead by 2,000-plus votes over a 16-year incumbent. What does that tell you? I bumped the 10-year incumbent, although I won't win a seat. But that's, you know, it is what it is. I have been offered, remember we're the four election experts that looked into our June primary. I have been offered, hey, would you like my expert to look into your SCOE race in November? I said, yes, please. So I will be getting that report, and it'll be my humble opinion that my race was likely stolen from me. They don't want me to be an elected dog catcher in Chatham County, let alone a SCOE board.
You know, even if it wasn't stolen, Rich, it would be nice to know that it wasn't stolen and that was the actual vote count. You know, all these shenanigans, all of these things that have happened have made everybody suspicious whether that's valid or not, and that's the real deal. We want to get back to where we know that what we're getting is what it
is. We're confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm giving some additional training to the new school board candidates on December 10th. They already have the invite via email. And we're going to, you know, we're going to make sure that our new board, school board member candidates do the right thing, that they are bold, righteous, constitutional, moral, and ethical. And we're going to get these school boards turned around. I wish we would have had you know, more people run this cycle. But we've got 2 years, hopefully, for the next school board cycle, hopefully to get 80 or 90 people to run. I'm going to run again for Area 2 in 2 years because two of those, the other two seats, will be up in 2 years for SCOE Area 2. So I'm going to run at least for that. I don't know, maybe something else. But so Anderson High School, excuse me, the two top vote getters for Anderson High School Board, newcomer challengers over the two incumbents. I mean, amazing, right?
See, that's the red wave. That's the red wave, yeah. Rich, that we're talking about, is that at the local levels, we started getting conservatives in the races. They started understanding how to run. They started how to run a campaign. You know, most of us conservatives just want to be left alone. You know, we just want to live our lives. We don't want to be that involved in politics. But in the experiment called self-governance, we have to be involved or we end up with what we've been getting.
And I think they realize that they actually have the power, and we do have to go back to the local level. And I think a lot of people woke up to that.
I think it's happening. And if you look at the map across the board through the counties between red and blue, we are overwhelmingly a red country. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's only these large population centers and the places that they're either cheating or ballot harvesting or change the rules.
Yeah. And then Millville School District. All three ladies that are winning, and I think their margin is unbeatable at this point. All three members, non-incumbents, all three of them won over the two incumbents. So they're gonna take Millville School District. Yeah, it's a small district, but you know what? We're gonna make some changes here. Even though I'm likely gonna lose my seat, there's gonna be a coalition formed with these patriotic school board members. Guess who they're going to tap into for advice and counsel? Yeah, that would be me. So, as a matter of fact, you know, you can strike me down now, Darth, but I shall become more powerful than ever, right? So, I'm going to have some influence, and they're going to take my advice consent as they desire.
So,
right?
Should we start calling you Obi-Wan Gallardo now?
Sure. It's Obi-Wan Stones now. So, anyway, but what I'm saying is we're making good changes, and, you know, we're going to turn some of these small ships around. We did not get the big school boards, you know, Cascade, Shasta Union Enterprise, unfortunately. We didn't get those. The Gateway Unified School District, we're teetering on that majority with Cheryl Clifford. Literally, she's only 8 votes ahead with one more ballot drop.
Well, it's almost criminal that we're still even arguing the point of who's winning the races, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
At what point in time do we have a one-day election? You got Florida with,
It was 3 times the amount.
Well, I'm talking about the fourth largest populous state or something in the country, and they had after they cleaned up the voter rolls, after they cleaned up all of the ballot harvesting, and they cleaned up all of the ballot drop boxes, they had all their stuff counted in one day, and they knew by 8 o'clock that night who won the election.
Yeah, a couple more, and I'll get out of here so you guests can do their thing. So. Gateway Unified Area 3, Lindsey Haynes, 600-vote lead over the incumbent, not likely to change, so congrats to her, early congrats to her. And the last one, Shasta Union High School District. We did get a patriot on there, by the way. Oh, wow, 6 people ran. Oh, wow, our non-incumbent patriot beat all 6 of them in total votes. Gee, I wonder why that's happening. Great show, guys. And any questions before I get out of here?
No. Nope. Thanks for calling in and giving the update like usual. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, we do have one of the I'm assuming he won the election at this point because, I don't know, do we have to cut a deck of cards or do a Ouija board thing to know for sure?
Yeah.
I mean, so we've got Arthur Gorman and his beautiful wife, Katie, with us today.
Yeah, we do.
And a special guest. And so maybe he can enlighten us or somebody can enlighten us on, are you actually a candidate who has won an election yet?
Well, it does look like also with Gateway, it does look like we did win because it is it is a choose two, so it looks like Cheryl did win at least one. She won one of those seats. So
she's number one.
She's number one. So she did win one of those seats. So we do have the majority there on Gateway, which pretty happy about that. That's where I work.
So, you know, the ROB says there's about 2,000 votes left to put in. I'm at 17,600, and the guy below me is at 14,800, but there's two positions, and the other incumbent is all the way down at 11,000. So if they don't call the race, I'm not really sure where they're going to get all the votes to beat me are.
What? Well, don't ask the question too much.
I could count 2,000 votes before breakfast. I mean, come on. What the heck is going on over there?
They got machines. They got people. Come on. Let's get this done.
Oh, and these machines are supposed to be more efficient?
You would think.
It takes a lot to stick.
Well, I think they're more efficient at fixing the votes or fixing the election or fixing a lot of things, but I don't think they're all that great about counting the votes up and determining who won.
Mark, we don't say that. It's called fortifying the election. That's the appropriate term to use.
And didn't they know the election was coming and that they needed to count the ballots and all of that prior?
No.
Oh.
No, it was all what happened was that day they just decided today's election
they just figured it out that they had to do it.
And they said they just put out a public service announcement saying everybody show up at the polls today because we're totally unprepared.
Well, you get 8 days until after the election to collect all the mail-in ballots that have been postmarked to the day of the election, even though you had all month to turn them in.
That sit down at the post office on the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the ticket.
That's where those 2,000 votes came from.
So if there are 2,000 votes, none of them are for Arthur Gorman.
I still win.
You still win. Which is great.
So I guess
we want to congratulate you on that as well.
You can't call the election yet. Why?
Yeah.
He did get his congratulatory email from the superintendent of schools this week.
Yeah. So they've decided. That
Judy did reach out.
But I guess maybe you're sticking in the craw of Darling Allen.
You're right, yeah. I've been waiting for the elected officials to tell me I won.
Maybe she doesn't like your wife.
Yeah.
I don't think she called the police on me.
It's really interesting.
She's the one that intimidates.
Yeah. Well, her biggest complaint is that Kathy Darling Allen in her complaint letter said that she has a hard time now because she has to educate the public, she has to give more tours, and she has to give more trainings. And because of that, her job is a lot harder.
And answer questions.
And she has to answer questions. I thought that's what her job as the elected official that runs the department was.
I seriously have a hard time listening to what you're saying without wanting to throw something through the freaking glass.
Yeah, I know. If I went and told my boss, you know, it's really difficult. I'm really having a hard time educating people.
You know,
they just show me the door.
I think we ought to start telling our clients that. We don't know the answer.
I have a clip here that's really germane to what we're talking about. This is a fired Twitter employee who is at a job interview. I think we should listen to a few minutes of it because it's kind of like how the elections office is sort of run by the Democrats and the liberals. So let's play this for a few minutes and we can have a little fun and then we can talk about how it applies to our situation right now.
Mr. Dunsinson?
Yeah, come on in. You know, you're 20 minutes late.
Yeah, at Twitter we didn't have like start times. Schedules are remnant of an oppressive colonialist regime.
Oppressive colonialist regimes? Okay. Well, look, the work here is pretty demanding. We need to find someone who can inspect all of our outgoing... Miss, are you okay?
I'm sorry. I'm not really used to bosses using trigger words like demanding.
She's breathing in a bag.
Work.
But this is a job.
We don't say that either.
Then how do you get any work? How do you get any labor stuff, production, the handwork, not work, sorry, stuff done? How do you get any stuff done?
Streep's got tons of stuff done on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, what would you say you did there?
I was responsible for so much. I was a content moderation specialist. Some days during my afternoon cornhole sesh, I'd get a text telling me I had to ban someone.
So then you'd have to actually, like, walk over to your computer and ban them?
No. I would just hit a button on my phone, and then BAM! Babylon Bee, banned. Libs of TikTok, banned. Steve from Fruitport, Michigan, you know he banned. And then back to cornhole.
All right, well, What else did you do there?
Drank like a sailor. They had wine on tap, mimosas, a full microbrewery. They also had AA, which was kind of helpful for me. One day at a time.
Well, congratulations. So I think I've seen everything that I need to see. Did you have any questions for us?
Tons. Okay, first, you don't actually, expect me to come into the office, do you?
Well, how do you expect to get any work done, labor done, stuff done at the factory without coming into the factory?
Oh, so this is like a job. Yeah, that might be a deal breaker for me. Also, I didn't notice any meditation rooms when I came in. Do you guys have any gurus on site, or is it more like a BYOG type situation?
BYO what?
Also, I didn't see a QR code for your lunch menu, but I assume your shrimp is non-GMO and cage-free.
Shrimp? Where'd you get shrimp? We don't have any shrimp.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, boss. Pneumatic drill is on the fritz again. I need to go pick up some parts. I'll be back in 5.
Ugh! What was on his hand?
It was grease.
How did it get there?
Because he works, does stuff,
wow.
Engages in manual labor.
Okay, that's it. I can't do this. I'm sorry, Mr. Dunsonson. We've decided to go in a different direction.
All right, well, I'm sorry to hear that, miss.
No.
So he holds out his hand to shake. He's got grease all over it. But, you know, it, obviously this is tongue-in-cheek. This is obviously
it's
the Babylon Bee.
Really not, though.
But
exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, and this, by the way, Alex sent me this morning, my sister's son. And then I wanted to give credit for the other clip for Turley from our brother who sent that to me this morning as well. So I'm going to try to actually, acknowledge the people that are sending me all this information and getting it onto the show. But it is true.
Well, and to that, so I have an article here from November 16th where Elon Musk went extremely hardcore. Elon Musk announces Twitter 2.0 in midnight employee email. The email appears to suggest employees will be tasked with intense workload and will maintain employment through exceptional performance. Musk doubled down on the importance of Twitter's code writers, constituting the greatest sway regarding the success of the platform. A confirmation link was provided in an email which Musk instructed employees to click in agreement with his proposed standards for Twitter's endeavor by Thursday evening. Employees disagreeing with Musk's standards or failing to click the link would go with 3 months of severance pay, according to the email. Going forwards to break through to Twitter 2.0 and succeed in an increasingly competitive world, we will need to be extremely hardcore, reads the letter obtained by Business Insider. This will mean working long hours and at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade.
Well, now, that's it.
What's interesting about this is about 80% of the employees said, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, so they fired themselves, basically, because they had to work.
Right.
I think we have this kind of a thought process in a lot of government as well, where maybe not to this extreme, but the thought process is, see, in the private sector, how I get paid more, as opposed to just getting a raise, is getting creative about how much more work I can produce. So that I get paid because the more innovative I get about production, in other words, the more people that I can serve, the more people that I can take care of, I don't just automatically get a raise. I have to come up with a value of some sort, whether it's my service is valuable or my time is more valuable, my expertise is more valuable. I got to have something, all right? But that's not how it works in government. Most employees are talking about, you know, I want a bigger salary, I want a raise, I want more benefits, you know, I want a retirement program. But the value of the exchange doesn't come into play typically on what you get because of that. It's mm-hmm. just automatically assumed that you're going to, creep up the ladder somehow. And I equate it to the farmer, the old parable of the farmer. Okay, so here's how the difference between the farmer and the people working for the farm. Okay, the farmer, you know, what are the people working on the farm? They want more money. They want to raise the less hours, you know, all of the vacation time, all of that. And, you know, you ask the farmer, what's he thinking about? And he's thinking about, I hope it rains. I hope the crops come in. I hope we don't have a big freeze. And you can see there's a disconnect from reality between the two. And I think that's the problem with government. The government employees are not being held accountable to reality, and the people that, you know, are supposed to be involved in the negotiation of the service or the value, which would be the parents.
Well, and to that, most government workers, the key word is work. There is a difference between just
or the parents,
sitting, you know, on your butt doing nothing, collecting.
I'm looking at Katie when I say this because I know she's a teacher, but I'm also looking, you know, we're talking about the elections office as well, and I'm going to say that, you know, the other party over there is the voters.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. You know, we have a big disconnect, and, you know, it's not being taught in schools as far as when you get older. We have a lot of people that are business owners here in town that they say, you know, I wish when I went to school that they taught me about business and finance and
financial.
You know, they have some good programs with ROP as far as firefighting and police and healthcare, maybe even education, but they don't really have anything that gears the minds of those people that would go into business.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's a rich dad, poor dad thing as well. That was one of his biggest things, is that they don't even teach kids how to do a checkbook. I think we can have the best of all worlds here if we realize who the service is for.
Right.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, for me, this journey that I've gone on is, you know, parents need rights and parents need the seat, you know, quote unquote seat at the table. What I found is that we absolutely do. And that's those school board positions. It's imperative that these parents show up at these school board meetings, run and take over these boards.
Yep.
You would not believe the amount of power and autonomy that a school board has. And this is where we have to take this fight and take this front too. Yes, your teachers do have a right to their job in the form of tenure, and that's for a lot of reasons, but it's something to be debated, because when you have a political, you know, tide turning, you need that consistency. And teachers do not need to be beholden to what school board is up there at any given moment, and then everybody just gets wiped their job.
As long as the curriculum is not political.
Well, so you focus on the wrong thing, because you could, as a school board, you could sit there and you could vet curriculum. You could pick the best one that you really want, and you could spend all this time and energy, and it's all a distraction, because in the end, and we found this out right now in Shasta County, supplemental materials are, most teachers right now are working 100% supplemental materials.
What does that mean?
So basically, I go by the state standards, and I can teach those state standards, but I can use whatever I want. I have the autonomy to do that. Now, your school boards and these school boards that we're taking over, we are going to address that topic, which is that supplemental material. Your school board is spending a whole bunch of money on curriculum that is, frankly, garbage anyways,
right,
and teachers don't like
that
it.
They don't use.
We're kind of saying the same thing in a different way.
Well, you know, it's a really, really, really important how you approach this situation, because if a school board spends a lot of time adopting curriculum, this official process, and not looking at what is the official curriculum, here's a perfect example. Just recently, we had to have a walkthrough, a Williams Act walkthrough, which to make sure that we had all of our curriculum on campus. I had a science curriculum and a history curriculum I had absolutely no idea existed. I'd been working there for 5 years. So, and that was official and adopted.
So I maybe the wrong word is not curriculum, but what's being taught to the children in
right.
the classroom.
Right, and this is why I feel like it's so great, because Joel, who went up against the Shasta Union High School District, really did point, because it's been frustrating for me to...
You're back.
Okay. It's been frustrating to me to speak to people about this situation and say, you know, what is our fight? Where's our front? Well, Joel found it in that policy on the supplemental materials.
Yeah, using policy and procedure and ed code.
And we can do that. And parents can take back that right Not that teachers don't need to have leeway, but when it comes to things that are controversial, there needs to be a process.
All right. Hold it right there because they're going to cut us off. We're at the top of the hour, and we want to pick this up on the other side, that's for sure. So you're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Yeah.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. 30 water agencies that supply cities across the western U.S. are pledging to rip up a lot of decorative grass to conserve water in the overtapped Colorado River watershed.
Water agencies in Southern California, Phoenix, and Las Vegas were among those that signed an agreement that outlines broad commitments to reduce water use. The grass removal commitment centers on turf that people don't walk on, and generally not grass in backyards or parks. Cities use about a fifth of the region's Colorado River water, and some have already begun paying businesses and homeowners to voluntarily replace grass with drought-resistance landscaping.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Vice President Kamala Harris is off to the Philippines.
After attending the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Thailand, Harris will fly to Manila Sunday night and meet President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. for talks on Monday aimed at reinforcing security and economic ties and underscoring America's commitment to defend its treaty ally. The trip will involve flying to an island province facing the disputed South China Sea, where Washington's accused China of bullying smaller claimant nations. On Tuesday, Harris flies to Palawan Province, which faces the South China Sea, to meet the Coast Guard and some local fishermen. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Meanwhile, China has announced its first new death from COVID-19 in nearly a half a year. Strict new measures are being imposed in Beijing and across the country. The death of the 87-year-old man was the first reported since May the 26th. Elon Musk has reinstated Donald Trump's account on Twitter, reversing a ban that kept the former president off the popular social media platform since 2021. Musk making the announcement yesterday. It's not really clear whether Mr. Trump will actually return to Twitter. He's got his own social media site, Truth Social. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Lee Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
A key UN committee has taken a first step toward agreeing on a treaty that recognizes crimes against humanity committed at any time, not just during conflicts.
The committee that deals with legal issues has approved a resolution to hold sessions in the next 2 years, where groundwork would be laid to push through the treaty in September 2024. While there are treaties on genocide and torture, amongst others, there is no treaty specifically devoted to crimes against humanity, according to the group Human Rights Watch. Crimes against humanity have been defined by the International Criminal Court as crimes such as rape and torture committed against a civilian population based on a government or organizational policy. I'm Karen Chamas.
19 people in northeastern Afghanistan were lashed today for adultery, theft, and running away from home, according to an official with the Supreme Court. The announcement underscores the Taliban's intention of sticking to their strict interpretation of Islamic law. News and analysis at townhall.com. President Biden's granddaughter Naomi and Peter Neal wed at the White House yesterday.
President Biden's granddaughter Naomi Biden walked across the south lawn of the White House on Saturday toward an altar of shrubs and flowers to marry her longtime fiancé, Peter Neal, in a rare wedding on the grounds. Theirs was just the 19th wedding in the 200-plus years of White House history. Under a sunny, blue sky paired with unseasonably crisp 40-degree temperatures, it's the first White House wedding with a president's granddaughter as the bride and the first one ever on the South Lawn. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Today is Sunday, November the 20th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including comedian Dick Smothers of the Smothers Brothers. He's 84 years old. Broadcast journalist Judy Woodruff turned 76 today. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton has 74 candles on his cake. Country singer Dierks Bentley, 47. Olympic gold medalist Dominic Dawes, 46. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Yes, we are. We are
in a lot of ways. We really are. We're starting to.
The whole ship's starting to turn around, but it's like turning a battleship around. It takes a little while. You don't just turn on a dime. It takes a little while, but you're seeing engagement across the country. You're seeing people getting involved, learning the processes. It's just like we were talking a minute ago during the break about the school stuff. I mean, when the Tea Party started, we didn't even know what a Board of Supervisors was, you know.
Not really. We've come a long way.
We knew the Constitution, and you had these rights, and, you know, you're supposed to be able to keep and bear arms and freedom of assembly and religion and speech and all that stuff. But nobody knew how
didn't know how the process worked exactly how to go about getting plugged into stuff.
Not only that. Things didn't make any sense. It's like saying, oh, you have Second Amendment rights in California. No, we don't, because the right to keep and bear arms seems pretty plain text. I mean, but if I walked outside right now and I had my pistol on display, I'd probably get somebody to call the cops on me, and I might get arrested, even though that's that's an enumerated right in the Constitution. So how does that even... How do you process that? But that's what this process is from the gate to now.
I don't think we realized how corrupt and how in depth it is with the other side
and
the bad people are been put in place. They've been working at it a long time.
Well,
I don't think we realized that.
I don't think we realized how out of touch we as the people were from our rights.
Yeah. Well,
so for the school board thing, for an example, there's lobbyist groups that they really seem very official, almost like they're part of the government, and they write these resolutions, and they have these huge databases, and they hand them like perfect prepackaged little things to these board members, and they say, oh, you need to make sure that you pass this because, you know, it's going to help you liability-wise, and you're going to need to do this because, you know, the state says you have to. And so they are continuing to... to rubber stamp these things and becoming basically just no brain, you know, signature on the line. They're voting all the time for these things, but it's pulling our county, it's pulling our individual school boards in a direction that the parents don't want. Yeah. And there is a way to intervene with this, and we can start writing our own resolutions, and we can start showing up at these boards, and we can take over these positions.
Right.
Now, I don't know if a lot of people have heard about what's going on in Shasta Union High School District, but they had a supplemental materials where it was this horrible music video. And
this is the one with the black guy shooting the...
So he shoots, he's shooting and gunning down a choir, and there's illicit drug use. And suicidal things going on, and it's the whole time saying this is America and downing America, and there's a lot of prison lingo and different things in this video. It's hideous. It was a hard time for me to watch it, let alone, you know, this is for high school students.
I watched about the first part where he got to shooting somebody.
Yeah, my jaw was on the floor the first time he shot somebody. I was shocked, and I had to make myself watch the entire thing. He has no shirt on. It's awful. So there's a parent there who has been fighting this stuff. He has been able to rally a bunch of parents to come down there. We even got like an article in the news about it. He got it to the point where the school board is going to revisit the policy on supplemental materials, which is wonderful. It's something that I didn't think of because I kept thinking, like, these parents fighting CRT or, you know, whatever the new name of it is, ethnic studies. And I kept thinking, you know, you guys are just fighting an impossible battle. Right. But if we can get the right language on that policy on supplemental materials that they need to go through proper channels, we can really make a big difference.
So that would be screened by the board is what you're saying?
Well, the way it sits.
There would be a chain of command.
Yeah. The way it sits right now, the parent can ask for the material and supplement, and they don't have to give it to you. You can't review it. So, to what she's saying, you could change that lingo, right, so that the parents could be involved in that and know exactly what supplement material includes.
So over the break, as I understand it, we were going through and we were discussing some of this, and we were discussing how the teachers board can go through and set a curriculum, but the curriculums that they're utilizing right now are 80 years old. And
they're garbage.
They're garbage. And so these teachers, so long as they are within the letter of the law for
the
what
state
California
standards.
For the standards.
And the education codes.
They purchase the material themselves and then
Or make it.
And so long as it's within that, then the teachers themselves own that material.
Mm-hmm.
And can
say, sounds so backward. I mean,
and can say it to you as a parent, no, I own that. I purchase it. It's proprietary. You can't look at it.
That's why.
I, in some cases, I would have to tell you, like, even me, I would say I can point you in the direction of that material, and I definitely would have no problem showing it to you. But as far as printing it out and giving it to you, I cannot do that because I am under that license. I have one license for it, for my class. And then, you know, I can point you in the direction where you could pay for it. Most of the stuff, you know, is under $20, but it's
not going to be used for good or bad, depending on who's teaching.
Exactly.
The thing is it's overwhelmingly good. I can tell you that because that curriculum is garbage, written by people who have no idea what happens in the classroom, and it's not efficient.
No, this
your
is
children
the people at the state level
learning.
That you're talking about.
I don't know who they're
the curriculum development.
They're actually for-profit companies that may
probably state.
Well, you got some local people that are in charge of curriculum development. You have at each school district and at the county board and at the state level that are
they're irrelevant. It's a bunch of for-profit companies that are making this curriculum, and basically all they need to do is rubber stamp from the state. All they have to do is make sure that the standards are written in there and in a certain way, and then our school districts are basically forced to buy it. We don't use it. Our school boards, our teachers, everyone spends an inordinate amount of time fretting over curriculum that we don't use.
Well, so what I'm hearing is in Shasta County, it might be different in you know, Compton. But what I'm saying is that most of the teachers are trying to do the right thing is what you're telling me.
Well, go look up Teachers Pay Teachers. It will show you that it is a kajillion dollar, I don't know how much money, company, because this is where teachers are sharing ideas. making things, and that is the majority of what is. You go through all those things that are listed on there. That's what's being taught in school.
See, because what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you've got some big companies that are basically, you know, it could be, you know, a brainwash Corp Unlimited trying to implement or selling these strategies to the schools, selling these curriculums to the schools, and then you got the teachers going, this is garbage, and we don't want to teach that, but it's kind of a pretend thing that we're even doing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, and then we have these Williams Act things where they come in and the state comes in and checks to make sure that we have our curriculum. We spent about, you know, I don't know, a couple weeks. And this is not just the district I work in. I mean, this is literally all of California.
Well, that explains some things because then you got the guy down in Sacramento.
We just make sure we have it, and that's it.
That explains some things because then you got the guy down in Sacramento teaching Che Guevara stuff. He's got communist flags all over his walls.
They better review that supplemental materials policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to that end, story time. When I was younger, I ended up trying to graduate through the process of doing the CHSPE, which is the California High School Proficiency Examination.
What do they call it? Go ahead. I'll think of it in a second here.
Okay. So in that process, I started studying.
GED.
It's similar to that, but not the same. It's much harder, in my opinion, than the GED.
Because I did both. When I graduated from high school, I took the GED, passed it, and then graduated. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that hard.
GED's not super hard. The CHSPE, I believe they try to make harder so that you can't get out of school early. Because it's not a, hey, I'm 18 and I just need to graduate. It's, hey, I'm here and I want to get out of high school early so I can go move on with my life.
But you can't move on because then I lose dollars if you graduate.
Exactly. But what's interesting about this is in that process of learning about it, I came across this book. It was a Barron CHSPE study book. And in that book, it actually called out exactly some of the things that we're talking about here. So what they said is that these companies that make the CHSPE test are a private company. Most of them are not teachers. Most of them are not formally educated in that way. And most of the questions, the way that they tell you to study for this book and study for the test is the first portion of the test, answer the questions logically. The middle ones, it'll be 50-50, and the final end pieces of it, whatever you think is the right answer is the wrong answer. For the test.
Sounds like a government test.
So I got a couple comments in the chat room here. One is, how about a supplemental policy that includes all materials be placed on the district website 7 days before it is presented to the students? I mean, maybe that's a way to see what's going on.
I think that's amazing, but it is impossible.
Hmm.
I mean, because, for instance, if I sell some things on Teachers Pay Teachers, then I would want to make sure that those people are buying only one license for their classroom. And then if those items were then freely available on a website, then you are disenfranchising that person who worked very hard on those items that they made. So it is an issue. It's a licensing issue. But I do think, that we should make a policy that strictly involves things that are controversial or especially things that involve violence or nudity or illicit drug
there
use.
Some standards.
Those types of things. And I do think that a high school teacher is less likely to use supplemental materials, probably not as like 100% as, say, an elementary teacher. But it is a big issue, and we do need to push for that in every single one of our schools, even the ones we don't have majority.
What would make the difference between the high school and the grammar school as far as the supplement? Why do you feel that it's more at the grammar school level than the high school?
I think it's because the high school level is more, they haven't switched totally over to standards based. It's more grades based and more of a process. They focus more on the process of the whole semester.
Okay.
Whereas we are actually, our report cards are listed out with the standards. So I have the free, you know, to look at, okay, what am I teaching in math? It's, for instance, it would be something like, add and subtract within 10. I can get literally anything to teach that. It's very easy to do that. And in actuality, it would be supplemental materials with me in front of my students with a whiteboard. You know, so that, you know, okay. You have to really pull that in. Mm-hmm. So for high school, it's different because they are, you know, giving out specific assignments and they've got kind of like a syllabus that they go by and they'll use a lot more of the curriculum. I'm sure it's a lot of bits and pieces here and there. And over time, as we develop as mm-hmm. teachers, we kind of find what works for us. And then we kind of solidify it. So as far as those syllabi and all of that stuff, we could actually get a hold of that and kind of create I guess it would be more oversight on those aspects. But it would be harder for the elementary.
Now, I want to address this next question in the chat room because I think it's important, too. Should a school board be partisan or on either political side? And I say no. I say it should teach the truth. But here's where you get into the hair splitting. Number one, it's impossible.
How do you do that?
It's impossible to not have some partisanship. But, you know, what I don't want is the things that are being taught slanted one way so that there is an outcome of thought. I want critical thinking taught so a person can decide for themselves. You know, it's like they take the founding fathers. It's all slave owners. But then they don't balance that with the side that shows that they created a document that said all people were created equal and freed everybody, and it took time for that to catch up because everybody owned slaves at that time. And so I don't think you can be completely nonpartisan, but what I want to be taught is the truth, and you get into these education of history, mostly is where I'm going, is that they don't look to what actually happened. They turn things into a political agenda.
Right. That's because, in my opinion, a lot of that is because of the people that are printing the books. Again, you're down to very few people or companies
that print
the material.
When you get into that and you start talking about the supplemental material and the curriculum, you have to really think about the culture and the organization of your school. So you have big companies, organizations like California School Boards Association, which is pushing propaganda, that's usually slanted to the left.
Right.
And they're trying to get school board members elected to those positions, which adopts curriculum, which hires superintendents, which could be slanted to the left. Mm-hmm. And then you get a superintendent that hires a leadership model at the district office that is all slanted to the left, which then hires principals, vice principals, and they hire teachers that are all slanted to the left.
Because the eventual outcome of that is that the government is in more control of everybody's lives. And that's why we're so against the propagandizing of the students. And that's the problem with what we have right now.
That's what we got. And so, you know, a lot of people, if you've watched the Moms for Freedom, the organization that's going across America that's partnering with the 1776 Project PAC for curriculum, and they're endorsing candidates and winning across the country. If you were paying attention this week, they're Berkeley County South Carolina. They won a majority of their board for the county, and what they were able to accomplish in their first board meeting is amazing. So they were when you assume office and they swear you in at that office, they have an organizational leadership change where everybody votes for what position they would like. And since they had the majority, they of course voted for themselves the majority into the chair or the president, the vice president, and so on and so forth.
We've seen how that works locally.
Yeah. And so what they did next was they fired their legal counsel, the reason why they fired their legal counsel is during COVID, they paid their legal counsel $1.5 million during COVID to represent them, where their legal counsel was telling them that they'd lose funding and liability, just like us locally, if they went against the COVID mandates, which the schools that didn't lose anything. In fact, they got more money, and they got more money this year for defying the mandates. Then that company was only hired for $145,000 to represent them for the year, but they got $1.5 million. So they got rid of that one, went with a conservative legal company that represents them now. Now they're paying less. They're fiscally responsible, right? Who would want that? Right. And I don't know where they got $1.5 million to pay the other guys. Then the next thing they did was fire their superintendent of schools. And why did they fire the superintendent of schools? Because he implemented the mandates on the parents and the children, and they had increased learning loss, like us in California.
Yeah, I think what you're hitting on is what these guys just don't understand. They don't understand everything is right and left to them.
Right.
They don't understand that if you are using a curriculum to sell your people into slavery by giving too much power to the government, by handing over your tax money, by, you know, teaching your children that the only thing good is government and it solves all your problems instead of being self-reliant, you know, that's not a conservative or liberal issue in my opinion.
Correct.
That's a common sense, staying free and productive in a civil society so that we all prosper, common sense. And I don't think that they get that. I mean, the one thing that I'm thinking about here is that if we looked at the basketball player who's, I don't know, we use the right pronouns or whatever, who's in Siberia right now because she dissed America her whole career and then got caught in Russia with a pot, which I could care less, and now is in a Siberian gulag because that's what happens historically when government gets too much control, gets too much power over the people, gets too much financial control, gets too much control over everything. And that is not a right-lefter thing, in my opinion. Are you either free or you're not. And that's the thing that's being missed here on all of this. You can't teach your people to be enslaved as a part of, the thought process and the general consensus. They need to be taught that freedom is valuable and you need to be able to make that choice by understanding that that is an alternative.
But more so, take that into action and do the things. Get out there. Do the
things. Be a part of the process.
Right.
Be part of the process because we do live in America and we... For at least for a while now, until, you know, people can continue down their apathy, we have these processes that we can, the people, take this stuff back and do what they did. What they did was incredible. We watched the entire board meeting. We were floored. It is a perfect blueprint of what we need to do here at our school boards. We need to take them over. We need to get majorities. We need to fire these legal counsels. We need to look at these superintendents of schools. We need to see, you know, where they're at on all of this stuff. Will they be able to stand up for kids? Will they be able to stand up for...
It goes back to accountability. I'm sorry, but we're going back to the accountability. We have not held them to any standards or made them accountable for anything.
See, I have
years.
I have a clip here, and this is from The Law by Frederick Bastiat. And it's the first portion, it's the first part of the book. And I think this really, and I'm going to start doing a little bit more of a series on this because I've got this now on tape. But I think it illustrates the point of the fact that when the government no longer serves the purpose that it was put into place for. In other words, the only purpose of our government is supposed to protect our rights, protect our freedoms, protect our properties. When it starts to act contrary to that, that's what we've got now. And that's not a right or left position. That is a overreaching government position on everybody's lives. And that's the point. So I want to play this just a little bit and see if this hits home with what we're talking about here.
The law. The law perverted. And the police powers of the state perverted along with it. The law, I say, not only turned from its proper purpose, but made to follow an entirely contrary purpose. The law become the weapon of every kind of greed. Instead of checking crime, the law itself guilty of the evils it is supposed to punish. If this is true, it is a serious fact, and moral duty requires me to call the attention of my fellow citizens to it. Life is a gift from God. We hold from God the gift which includes all others. This gift is life, physical, intellectual, and moral life. But life cannot maintain itself alone. The Creator of life has entrusted us with the responsibility of preserving, developing, and perfecting it. In order that we may accomplish this, He has provided us with a collection of marvelous faculties, and He has put us in the midst of a variety of natural resources. By the application of our faculties to these natural resources, we convert them into products and use them.
This process is necessary in order that life may run its appointed course. Life, faculties, production. In other words, individuality, liberty, property. This is man. And in spite of the cunning of artful political leaders, these three gifts from God precede all human legislation and are superior to it. Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Law and government properly defined. What then is law? It is the collective organization of the individual right to lawful defense. Each of us has a natural right from God to defend his person, his liberty, and his property. These are the three basic requirements of life, and the preservation of any one of them is completely dependent upon the preservation of the other two. For what are our faculties but the extension of our individuality? And what is property but an extension of our faculties? If every person has the right to defend, even by force, his person, his liberty, and his property, then it follows that a group of men have the right to organize and support a common force to protect these rights constantly. Thus, the principle of collective right, its reason for existing, its lawfulness, is based on an individual right. And the common force that protects this collective right cannot logically have any other purpose or any other mission than that for which it acts as a substitute. Thus, since an individual cannot lawfully use force against the person, liberty, or property of another individual, then the common force, for the same reason, cannot lawfully be used to destroy the person, liberty, or property of individuals or groups. Such a perversion of force would be, in both cases, contrary to our premise. Force has been given to us to defend our own individual rights. Who will dare to say that force has been given to us to destroy the equal rights of our brothers? Since no individual acting separately can lawfully use force to destroy the rights of others, does it not logically follow that the same principle also applies to the common force that is nothing more than the organized combination of the individual forces? If this is true, then nothing can be more evident than this. The law is the organization of the natural right of lawful defense. It is the substitution of a common force for individual forces. And this common force is to do only what the individual forces have a natural and lawful right to do. To protect persons, liberties, and properties. To maintain the right of each. And to cause justice to reign over us all.
I think that is such a powerful entry into the thinking of what we should be knowing and teaching to our children. Because we've lost that. It's all about this collectivism, about taking something from somebody else and giving it to somebody else to try to make everything equitable and fair. And in the process, what you're doing is destroying everybody's rights for the good of the state. And I think that's where we're losing the battle inside the education system.
Right, yeah. I mean, even Katie has a book, the Fish with the Colorful Scales. Did they teach in elementary?
Yeah, so the Rainbow Fish. So it used to be one of my favorite books. I would read it to kids, and it was really cool because it had a lot of colorful little scales on the fish. But the premise of it is that the rainbow fish had to give up all of his scales so that everyone could have a rainbow scale, and then he just only had one, and everybody else had one, and everybody looked the same. Now, if a teacher like me reads that now, I would say, I don't think that was fair that he had to give up his scales. He could have just stayed super awesome rainbow fish, and everybody else that was jealous could have just, like, thought, good for him. But then if another teacher teaches that, they're going to say, well, we should all share, and everybody should look the same, and everything should be equal. And instead, I teach the little red hen, where if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, she did all the work, right. So she got to eat all the cake. That's the kind of stuff.
The big difference between those two stories is when we relate it to nowadays is that the fish lost his scales at the point of a gun. Okay, it's if the fish decides to give all his scales away and that's what he wants to do with his life and it's charity. See, charity force is not charity anymore, it's extortion. When you're talking about the state doing the distribution of everything, that's what we've got.
Well,
today.
He was literally going to be ostracized from everyone unless he gave his scales away. So that's it's really same, like went
same
that
thing.
Far.
Yeah. Same thing. Whereas with the little red hen, she got to keep the benefit of her labor and did not you know, have to give it away. Does that mean that you shouldn't be charitable? Does that mean that you shouldn't help the poor? Does that mean you shouldn't share? No, it doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't mean that. What it means is the state can't take your property without due process and hand it to somebody else.
Right. And the last line of that was something like, and then forevermore the little redhead had three eager helpers.
Right. And with that, we have to take a break and we'll pick this up.
Just one little thing to add to that. What you want to add to that is one system causes people no incentive to produce, and the other one causes everybody to produce.
Yep. Right. And with that, we will go to a break. Stay tuned on the other side.
Yeah, so with education.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round. Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you find the directing sign on the straight and narrow highway? Would you mind the reflecting sign? Just let it shine within your mind and show you the colors.
Happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Jack makes good whiskey. Red dirt makes good riding roads. Country makes good music. For kicking up dust in a taillight glow. Dry wood makes good fires, good years make good swings. All that's all good, but for me, God makes 5 foot nine brown.
some of the good stuff. This is a heck of a topic we're approaching here, but I think it's the answer and the cause of all of our problems is understanding this.
Well, yeah, we got to start
most
somewhere.
Of our problems
we need
anyway. You know, we
the children are very important. You know, right? This is a very important thing, and it, for a long time, in my opinion, the parents haven't been able to be part of that, and that is changing now. We're seeing that across the board. The information's getting out.
Right.
People are understanding. I mean, we're learning here today about some of the stuff that we had no idea that was going on or how it was handled within the system.
I think people are ditching the mainstream Prolo feed garbage that is just propagandized everything, you know, because we know that it's all being controlled from a top-down oligarchy, if you will, for an agenda, you know, whether you go all the way to the World Bank, whether you go all the way to the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab and Dr. Evil and all that stuff. But that is what is the problem. The solution is everybody get involved and start being free and start producing and start getting involved at your local, state, federal levels. Start getting the citizens involved in the process of not just raising their kids but running their government.
So that brings us back to you. I just have a few questions. So where do you see going from here? I mean, you're just getting in there. What is your goal here? What is your responsibility?
Are you going to use the Elon Musk strategy?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing at the county level. So going in, I'm the one person that got into the county Board of Education. So really understanding the process when I get there, finding out what the roles and responsibilities, policy, procedure, and what product they actually produce.
I don't think you just squeaked in. I think you overwhelmingly won the majority of the vote.
Yeah, but he's the only one. He's the lone man.
So I'm going to go in there, make friends, figure out who does what and what they produce, because it's somewhat ambiguous when you talk to school districts within the county and say, hey, what does the county offer you? Well, I don't want anything that they say that they don't want the programs that the county produces, because if they do accept the money, the county can take that money back whenever they want.
Right.
So they don't want to put that into their operating expenses because it might just be taken away. So they would rather be autonomous and decide where their money is spent versus the county telling them where their money is spent.
It's a carrot and a stick thing.
Right. Yeah. So what... If that is true, and that's across the board here in Shasta County, what programs is the county actually using at the local school levels, and how is it making a positive impact in the lives of our students?
Right.
So if those programs are beneficial and they can have metrics and they show that they're worthwhile, then we should pursue those programs. If those programs have no metrics, can't show a benefit, there's nothing there that the community says that's of value, then we should redistribute that money. If it's a grant, it has to be tied to certain things. But if it's something that we can use on a program that's actually beneficial, we can take our time, energy, resources, and staff to move and use that on the programs that are working.
Right. You made a good point there. I know locally on some of these commissions that people for years haven't even questioned what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
They think it's like coffee time.
Right.
We meet once a month, we have coffee, it's all good, sign the papers and move along.
A lot of the school board representatives that we dealt with as parents going to every school board in Shasta County was that a lot of the school boards didn't know what their roles and responsibilities are, and that's what the district offices, and that's what the county board of education is supposed to educate and provide training to the school board members so that they know what they're supposed to be doing, that they know their policies and procedures, rules and responsibilities. But, you know, they're failing because all these school board members said is like, we've never received the training. The training they gave us was over our head. And when we asked questions, we didn't get any response. And we really just follow whatever the superintendent tells us to do. Well, the superintendent works for the board at the pleasure of the board.
Wow.
And if the board doesn't
like... So they got it figured out. The tail's wagging the dog here.
Right. If the board doesn't like what the superintendent has to say, they are individual people that came and were elected by the people to do a job for the people. And if things aren't working, they have that individual responsibility to vote in the way that they see fit.
So cornhole and cappuccino, is that where we're at?
Right. Yeah, it's true. But, you know,
big salaries, that's where we're at.
But, you know,
yeah.
What I was telling you guys about the California School Board Association, and they're the ones that provide these training opportunities for board members that are supposed to tell them what Brown Act is, what the rules and responsibilities are, but they have an agenda for the state. And a lot of these people say, I don't work for the people. I am an extension of the state, and that should scare you
that's
right there.
Yeah, that should scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, me and Katie were going over this yesterday, and she was looking at the information, and she had a few things to say about that.
Well, they've not to interrupt, but they've weaponized the state against the parents and the people. That's what's happened here.
It's true.
Well, so what we've got to do is we've got to outpace these lobbyist groups. For instance, a big one is the Public Affairs and Community Engagement Representative. That's a lady named Suzanne Barrymore. She's basically, I mean, she's a lobbyist. She works for the California School Board Association. There's 24 geographic regions. Shasta County Office of Education is Region 2, comprises Modoc, Siskiyou, Trinity, Shasta, Lass, and Plumas counties. Each person has a director who is a fellow school board member. Now, ours is named Sherry Crawford, and then there's another one that we all know, Bruce Ross, is our delegate for our area. So they're very, very highly organized, and this is where all of that stuff comes, where they just want to, like, spoon-feed the school boards, and they use a lot of scare tactics to get them to say, you know, they are an arm of the state and those kinds of things.
Well, and Bruce Ross is an aide to Dalley.
Correct.
Right, a senior director to Dalley. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the vice chair of the Republican committee.
Just a coinkydink.
Right. And so they're going to take all these school board members to a training in San Diego and spend a weekend with them, training them. Now, we have Rich Gallardo that is going to go ahead and undo all that training for us and give us the rundown, as well as Brian Caples, give us a rundown of our true responsibilities and abilities to make changes in our schools. Wow. And so and this is the tremendous amount of pressure that our school board members have been under, and why we basically might as well be plants when we're standing in front of them. So this is how we can organize similarly to make sure that we can do those types of things.
You know, it makes me think that, you know, COVID, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, because mm-hmm. I don't think that we would be going in this direction as fast and as hard as we are now if the lockdowns hadn't occurred, if the masks hadn't occurred. Mm-hmm. It really woke everybody up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Jackie LaBarbera said the blessing that is COVID. And I asked her, I said, what do you mean by that? And she basically stated exactly what you said. It was a way for all of us to see what's going on.
Instead of boiling the frog slowly, it's better to just throw in a hot pot, because the frog will jump out. And that's what we've been doing all along, is getting slowly boiled to turn up the temperature a little bit at a time. And
maybe they did a little too much.
Well, that's what happens with
totalitarians
when they're grabbing power. You know, once they think they've got enough power, they do whatever they want. We've seen that time and time again, and that's what's been happening. It's like when Obama got elected, I told everybody when he got elected, I said, you know, this is probably a good thing, because, you know, the masks are coming off. People are showing their hands and who they really are. When he got elected, I said he's a socialist. Oh, he's not a socialist. Halfway through his administration, he was a socialist, and when I was telling him, he's a communist. Oh, no, he's not. Now you could openly call him a communist, and they'd say, yeah, okay.
Well, with the pandemic, if you want to say that, the jab is where the tipping point, in my opinion, was the mamas and everybody, because they started going after the children, and that woke the moms up.
Yeah. And it
caused a big wave, if you want to say, to go throughout everything, and people started questioning everything else, getting plugged in, seeing what's going on here, what's happening there.
And we're probably on the edge of a huge tragedy because of the shots and all the vaccines and the rollout without being tests and all that stuff. I mean, I'm seeing more and more reports, not of just people, not just dying, but, you know, getting sick. The people that are getting right. sick are the ones that got the jab. The people that are dying are the ones that got the jab. I hope this doesn't turn into some kind of apocalyptic freaking nightmare, but I'm afraid it still might because, I mean, right. what I'm seeing. And gosh darn, I mean, this is what happens when you let things go without the proper channels, without the proper people getting involved and, you know, and talking about real science and questioning things and, you know, not just blindly following whatever the government mandate is. And that's what we've kind of half the population, if you want to call the left and the right, has blindly followed whatever mandate the government has told them to, and there are serious consequences, it seems, at this point.
Well, and even the flip-flops that we've seen from these people across the entire way in 2020 and 2021, it was, trust the science and I am science, and now it's, we had no idea. We didn't know.
Yeah, now they're, right. now they're talking about amnesty for the guys who followed the science, you know, or the
right.
Yeah, it's just
well, and the best thing that I saw on that was two people on a plane flying off of an island where basically one guy across the way was trying to eat everybody and then being like, oh, no, let's have amnesty. Like, you tried to eat me.
I don't know where we're going. I don't trust any of this stuff.
So
anymore.
Back to you. How long are you in there for? I mean, when do you start? I mean, let's
So I'll get sworn in on December 14th at 1:30.
Wow.
At the board meeting.
That's an interesting
downtown.
Date.
Yeah, their board meetings are in the middle of the day. I don't think they really want people to come to them.
That was
kind of like
the
board of supervisors.
Yeah.
Board of supervisors meet at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday. We meet at 1:30 on a Wednesday. Like, working people and parents aren't going to show up. Like, I want working people and parents to show up, so if I could do anything to improve it, it'd be like, oh, we're going to start doing some night meetings.
Night meetings, a Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to hear from the people, be available when the people are available.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because most of us just can't cancel everything. I mean, most of us don't have the ability, especially if you're working for someone else, to just say, hey, I can't show up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
every second Wednesday of the month off so I can go down to the board meeting.
Well, and mostly I think teachers would want to go there, but forget about that.
Oh, well, that's a good idea, too. You mean have them present at a board meeting as well?
The people that are actually receiving your services, you think that you'd want those people there. You know, the big thing is, you know, we started this journey a year ago when the mandates came out, and we saw our, you know, friends and families that own businesses, and they were closing, and some of their favorite restaurants were shut down, never to reopen again. And then they came after our livelihoods to say that we were no longer met conditions of employment, even though we had natural immunity to be infected like three times before a mandate came out, and we were still living and doing better than if we had the vaccine. And then they went after the teachers and said they couldn't be employees anymore because they no longer met conditions
right.
of employment. And then they went after our kids. And, you know, it's enough. You know, it's enough for us to say we can't do this anymore. And then we needed to learn the rules of the game. And so all right. of us started getting involved. We started seeing the processes. And then they said, okay, well, this is the game. The people that say that they're elected, that they have the power, and we're just little peons giving our 3 minutes, well, no. We're going to be the ones that take back those positions of power and authority, and we're going to take them. We're going to get the majority of the board. We're going to change things locally, and we're going to take over the state in about 10 to 12 years. And that's what's going to happen, and we just need people to stay on
that's
track right. and understand
yeah.
the process.
I think that is the red wave, and I think that COVID was a blessing in a lot of ways if you look at it from that perspective. Because, and just in a recent court decision, they overturned the fact that they fired a bunch of people. I think it's New York where they fired them all, and now they're having to give them all their jobs back because
right.
it was all illegal to say you couldn't work there until you got the shot. I mean, talk about Nuremberg crap. That's why these
right.
guys are looking for amnesty, is because that completely violates the Nuremberg code.
Right.
on what the Nazis were doing, experiments on the Jews back in the day. I mean, you can't have a government because once it steps over those lines and it has the power to keep going, I mean, they said, let's bind government down with the chains of the Constitution for a reason, because they said it was like fire, and fire was a dangerous servant and a fearful master for a reason, because if it got too big and you couldn't control it with the chains, then it would consume you. It would destroy right. your lives. And we've seen that up close and personal.
What? We need to push for the Nuremberg Code to be part of our Constitution.
Mm-hmm. I, well, it's already law.
Nah, it's not. It's not. It doesn't. I mean, they've thought of all the different ways that they can skirt it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I understand.
And I think it's more of a foreign policy at this point, is what I had read. So what we need to do is we need to codify that into an actual amendment.
Well, because all it takes is to have one person compromised in the right position of authority to implement. I mean, talk about national security issues. You know, if China compromises one guy who's in authority to make sure everybody gets the shot, and this shot is poison, could you think of a better way to Sun Tzu a country?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting, too, especially talking about the kids and talking about the future, because I don't think it's going to be 10 to 12 years. I think we're going to see an exponentially accelerated period of time to where kids are going to wake up. And one of my main provocations for saying that is video games, because these video game companies in these last year or two have been pushing it so hard. So, like, for instance, the Borderlands series, hugely popular game, recently released a brand new game just a month ago. Unbelievably woke. Unbelievably woke. Ableist and all the rest of it, put person in the wheelchair as the video game character, have it be, like, terrible writing, and it bombed across all of the platforms, and people were like, what is this writing? Like, it's gotten to the point to where they are so dastardly in wanting to put this in front of people so much
the kids can see it. I've seen it with my kids too. They're not stupid. They might not be mature, and they might not be have a lot of wisdom, but they can also see when someone's playing.
Those college kids will be our best vote harvesters ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is it's gotten to the point to where, like, remember the 1980s Christian movies to where the acting and the writing on it is just so bad?
Are we talking Kirk Cameron stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is that level.
The Hallmark Channel.
Yeah. And so, for instance,
I have to laugh because Linda's always got the Hallmark Channel. And I'm always giving her crap about the cornball stuff.
So, for instance, you're creating your character, and you have to select your pronouns now for your character as you're going in and making your character on these new games.
Hey, I just have a question. How much time do you spend on the games?
A decent amount.
See, I remember Asteroids and a Galaxy and Pac-Man, and that's pretty much it.
But I remember somebody that was like pinball really well.
Well, that's not an electronic game.
I'm just saying it to do
it. I mean,
nothing wrong with pinball.
Mention names, who?
At the height
of
my career in Asteroids, I could seriously go down and put a quarter in and spend all day there. Because I could win game after game after game. But then, you know, I also didn't have a job, and I was wondering why my life sucked. And
all right, so down to the last few minutes. Is there anything else you want to get out, tell the people about?
Well, yeah, the biggest thing is we are going to actively be recruiting our replacements, because we don't believe everybody should be in there forever, but you should be at least in there for one or two terms to get the work done and to recruit more people to replace you.
And
when
you don't
leave.
Have to have kids. You and there's perks.
Yeah, there's perks. There's a lot of good things that you can do for your community, but it involves people getting in there and doing it, because there's three incumbents in Area 1 that didn't have to run because no one ran against them. So our goal in the future of Shasta County to increase the vote is that no one will run unopposed. Everybody will have
good.
A challenger.
That's good.
And we need to actively recruit people to run in every elected position in Shasta County, and that's the goal from here on out.
So if somebody's interested, who do they get a hold of? You?
They can get a hold of me. They can get a hold of Rich. They can
get a phone number or anything you want to put out there?
Yeah, you can call me right on my phone, 530-356-6429. I'll talk to anybody. My wife knows that.
I just wanted to make just it
clear. I'll even meet you for coffee.
I wasn't attacking you, Dave. I think it's great that you play games, and I think they have a place. But it's good that someone's monitoring some of this stuff. So,
well, and it actually, it looking at Discord and looking at the games and stuff, that is where the kids are. That's where the people under 30
are. So maybe that's what we need to do is take over the games as well and get some implemented in there that maybe show a little bit of patriotism. Or
it would probably do very well.
Yeah, I bet it would.
Well, take it out of the hands of the Chinese
music. Gamers know determination, perseverance, and hard work, mm-hmm, and it pays mm-hmm. off when you win that game.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
it depends on where it's coming from.
So, like, yeah, for instance, the Daily Wire just passed 1 million paid subscribers. And you also have Timcast IRL. He's launched his program. But he's making movies, like the Daily Wire is making movies.
And music.
And they're making music. And they're making games. And they're charting
at the
top
charts. Look at the music.
Charts.
You got Tom McDonald. You got Hi-Rez. Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of guys going out there. But I think we're about out of time.
Well, I have one more thing to say.
No, hurry up, because the music's coming.
Make sure you vote. We had a terrible turnout. Get out there and vote next time.
Well, we got a strategy for that for the next time. All right. Remember, those who don't know the truth are ignorant, but those who know the truth and say nothing are evil. And
I want to thank you guys for coming in, and you're welcome to come back in the future to get something out.
Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant of the fearful master.
And all government controls racist. Have a great week, y'all.
Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving, and be safe.
Hold her up tight. Make a little loving, a little turning up.